It was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state or out of it. Today's title is 100 Pounds of Potatoes for 98 Cents. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who would have been known as the Great Communicator if only Ronald Reagan didn't beat him to it. He's an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
Hey, Brent, how you doing?
I am doing great. I think everybody will be doing great after they see some of these prices today. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, we will look at recent and not so recent weather in our yesterday's news segment. And for our main event, we will examine deflation and Great Depression prices in Kentucky. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. We are ready for yesterday's news. You might have noticed we've had some strange weather over the winter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like we didn't have a winter.
Right, yeah.
And nothing new. We get strange weather. This is Kentucky, right? The joke is, if you don't like the weather, you wait 5 minutes, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we would dig back to the weirdest weather event we have ever had in the history of Kentucky. That is the Kentucky meat shower.
You mean it rained meat?
It absolutely rained meat. What happened there was, there were some people outside, and all of a sudden, meat everywhere. And it was kind of a little bit of a national story as well. And weirdly enough, there's kind of a cult following of this out there on the internet.
Still today, people are interested in this happening?
Yeah. I discovered you can buy a t-shirt that says, I survived the Kentucky meat shower. So it's still a kind of a thing out there. I didn't realize it had this following, but
it's not exactly clear what that is. You need to know the story.
Yeah, that's right. So the story was, if we want to look at what the news said about it, it was in Bath County. That's out there in eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, on last Friday, a shower of meat fell near the house of Alan Crouch, who lives some 2 or 3 miles from the Olympian Springs in the southern portion of the county, covering a strip of ground about 100 yards in length and 50 wide. So it's like a football field worth of meat shower.
So it just started coming down, I guess, a lot to make it, it wasn't just like one piece, but just all these little
That's exactly
snowflakes
right.
of meat.
Yeah, it's like when you've been in some patchy rain.
Right.
And over here it's clear, but over here we've got a little bit of rain. It's like that, except this is meat. And so it says, she, of course, was taken by surprise. Sky was perfectly clear.
Yeah.
It fell like large snowflakes, it says. And so then the next thing
some
is
really heavy,
it's
bloody red snowflakes.
That's it.
What's the explanation for this? I mean, if this really happened.
Okay.
Somehow the meat got up there.
Well, they began examining it immediately. So it says here two gentlemen came along, tasted the meat, and expressed the opinion that it was either mutton or venison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't imagine tasting this.
Yeah.
It's fallen from
out of
nowhere, and they're like, okay, we've got to figure out what type it is. Scientists studied this immediately after it happened. There are theories today about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
One of the theories is that they're turkey vultures. And they've got kind of like this gag reflex.
Oh, okay.
If they need to lighten the load, they just turn on the gag reflex.
Oh.
And apparently they'll all do it together.
Like simultaneously?
Simultaneous gag reflux. And
like somebody sneezes and it makes you want to sneeze?
Yeah.
Except the
or
gag
yawning.
Reflex. Yeah, yawning.
Or really?
Yeah.
Puking as well in this case. And that appears to be, that's the going theory anyway about what exactly happened to that thing.
I feel bad for those two guys that tried it.
I definitely do too. the last thing I would have done is tried it, I do believe. But we do need to pause for a word from our sponsors.
this junk in your basement, attic, or garage. One pair of roller skates, two door hinges, one doorknob, one old spade, one trash basket will help to make a machine gun. How to do it? Go through your cellar and attic today. Clean them out. Gather up all the junk. Scrap metal, old rubber, old rags, mobile rope, bullet bags. Our country needs this junk. Get it out now. Sell it to your junk dealer or watch for the date it will be collected. The Kraken County Salvage Committee. Join the Junk Hunt for Victory.
I don't know about you, Jason, but I think I need something like this today. I need to clean out the garage.
Oh, yeah. Right. You need a good reason.
And this is the best reason, right? We can save the country by getting rid of the old doorknob.
Hey, they'll take anything. It's metal. Anything that would melt down.
That's right. You melt it down, you throw it at the Nazis, and you have done your bit. They called it doing your bit back then.
Right. So, and a lot of people know about this. They had those shortages and drives to collect things.
Yeah. And that's exactly what this is.
It's like metal, rubber. I didn't realize they wanted things like burlap bags, rope.
Anything they can get.
Recycle or turn into something else.
Yeah. Anything they... Oh, this is the original reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are ready for our main event, which is deflation prices in Kentucky. This is the Great Depression, and the telltale sign of the Great Depression is that the prices are falling. They're getting lower and lower and lower because nobody has any money.
Right, because, I mean, the prices would actually go down because they're desperate to sell something, even though nobody's buying anything anyway.
Yeah. And it's a little bit counterintuitive because you think, hey, lower prices, this is wonderful.
Right.
But not deflation.
It indicates something bad.
Yes, there is a lot of things. Of course, this is the worst economy that we had in the 20th century. And if we look around at these prices, you can see the ads themselves are saying, hey, we can help you economize. We can give you Campbell soup, 3 cans, 25 cents. Not each. 25 cents
right.
for 3 cans.
Yeah.
We can get Hershey bars, 3 for 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
These are really low prices.
Yeah. And they're trying to, well, I get the people that do are going to come in. They got to find the best deal that they can for this period of time, for sure.
Oh, yeah. The people that came out of this era, we talk about this sometimes in class, they're stingy. They want to save every last penny.
Right.
Or as this ad says, you can save a nickel on a quarter.
Save a nickel on a quarter?
Yeah, that is the slogan for this particular grocery store. You can save a nickel on a quarter.
Yeah.
And if we look around here at some of these prices, what do you think the deal of the day is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be something that everybody can eat, maybe?
Yeah.
Or a treat. I don't know.
Well, maybe. Sometimes the treats are still a little on the pricey side.
Mm-hmm.
Certain items might still be a little on the pricey side. But for me, I'm looking around here. I see things like a dozen eggs, 19 cents. I see sausage. 12 and a half cents a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. Half cent. This is what deflation has done to us, that a half cent
right.
is something that you're worried about.
That's a valid price that you could put on something.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. Sauerkraut, 7.5 cents a pound.
Yeah.
We're worried about the half cent.
Hey, what's a pig melt?
Pig melts are not anything that's going to melt in your mouth.
Okay.
That is a pig spleen.
Good thing they changed the name.
Well, you see, it's a spin job because
you're
not going to buy it if it says spleen.
Spleen.
But if it says melt, maybe you give it a little try.
Sounds great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Not for me, thanks. But you see right there next to it, pig liver.
Oh, pig liver.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't understand why people have ever thought to try or continue to eat a liver.
No, to me, now I know you had to make the most of it in the 19th century.
Yeah,
and here we're going into the 20th century.
There's still people eating liver, Brent.
That's true.
It's happening.
That's liver and onions, which, what a combo.
Yeah, throw some kraut on there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could throw much of anything on there if those are the ingredients.
Yeah.
I just can't really imagine that for me. But I think the deal of the day might be over at the Kroger store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
100-pound bag of potatoes,
98 cents.
First of all, could you put a 100-pound bag of potatoes in the cart? Could you lift it over the top of the cart?
Yeah, to even lift it, that would be tough.
Yeah, I think so.
A bag of potatoes is awkward as it is.
Yeah, even the 5-pound bag or the 10-pound bag, right? This is a 100-pound bag, 98 cents, less than a dollar for that. In particular, agricultural prices just completely bottomed out.
Yeah.
You can definitely see that here.
Is there any regulation in those days or kind of trying to manage, I guess, the food supply, producing too much, too little? Or did that all just kind of come born out of all this?
That's exactly right. That second thing that you just said.
Okay.
In the New Deal, they attempted to try to fix things like this.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing things like subsidies, paying you not to grow things.
Okay. Yeah, that's where that kind of came from. They realized the error in just complete mass production, and you've got too much.
There was a market breakdown of sorts here.
Okay.
What happened, it's kind of ironic, really, because we've got people in the cities who might be struggling to get food.
Mm-hmm.
We've got farmers out in the country who can't sell anything.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
And they've got literal piles full of food out here.
Yeah.
They can't get rid of it. And then there's people who would have wanted it, but they can't take it.
Right. Yeah, there was standing in line waiting for food, but it wasn't the case. See, that's the way I think of the Great Depression.
Yeah, soup lines,
when I picture
soup
that,
kitchens,
that's
right.
What I picture.
Yeah, they had that. They had that for sure. They had it in Kentucky. They had it everywhere. And but in this case, it's kind of a breakdown.
Right.
Beyond the grocery store, it's also other kind of products. Everything, manufacturing, like you say, was also taking a hit during this time. You can see that we can get a steel bed, $5.98. So not $598,
right,
but $5.98. We can get a mattress for $4.88. So that is, you get the whole package for less than $10.
Yeah. It's misleading, like you said. It sounds like, hey, these are good times. Everything's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. But this is deflation, and deflation was really, really scary. Really scary stuff, because the unemployment rate nationally was 25%. It really doesn't matter how low these prices are, because you don't have a job. You don't have any prospects for having a job.
Right.
You can't do it. You cannot pay for all this.
Now, do we know what this thing is here at the bottom? The 1923 12-tube super heterodyne?
Yeah, that's going to be a radio. And you can see that we're still getting a premium for the toys in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that thing is almost $80.
It's interesting how TVs, radios back then were really a part of furniture. They looked like furniture.
Yeah, they do.
And then people wanted that to be the case in their house.
Yeah, well, and they're big. The technology is big. It has not really been made small yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's, and in the case of a radio, 20s, 30s, it's a centerpiece.
Right.
We sit around the house. We listen to it, or then after TV comes along, we watch it together.
Right, right. We see those images, too, of families doing that, kind of sitting around listening to old radio shows, comedy.
Yeah.
Or the radio plays.
Right. And you see, that's maybe one of the exceptions here. That's a really expensive price.
Right.
In that day and age. If we check out clothing, when was the last time you bought a suit?
That's a personal question. Let's say a couple years ago. Do not ask me what the price was. Do not ask me that.
Do you remember, or you just don't want to admit to buying a cheap suit?
I'll say number two.
All right, then. But let's say you go to the mall.
Right, several hundred bucks.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
You're looking at minimum 200, really good sale, kind of an off-brand, right? We can get a suit here with these Great Depression prices, $12. $11.90, we give you the suit.
Smart style, it says.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
that means it was in style at the time.
Sounds like just a selling point to me. But if you see over here, the women can get a dress, $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
These prices, again, very low. Shoes.
A couple things about here on frocks.
Yeah.
Cotton frocks. The coolest dressed imaginable. They have to mean that it's, like, cool, like, it's not hot. It's more comfortable that way. A frock.
Mm, that's interesting.
Did they use the word cool in those days to mean something that was
I have not,
popular?
I have not read the word cool in that sense that far back.
Right.
I don't know. You know, a great place to look for something like that is in the dictionary. If you can go get an old unabridged dictionary.
Yeah.
They'll give you about the date that the word begins to be used.
Yeah, that particular definition of it, and then it tells you.
You got to be way into history for that, though.
Right.
I mean, that's digging way down into the weeds. That they might mean it literally there, but I cannot say with 100% certainty.
Be. Yeah, got to be. And people in these days, not everybody's sitting around with air conditioning.
Nobody has air conditioning in these days. What you do is you open the windows. That's the air conditioner.
Yeah. And hope for a breeze.
Yeah, you've got to hope for the breeze. They had the screened-in porch sometimes and things like you try to get the wind to flow through there. Heating was the same thing. You close off the rest of the house and you just try to heat one or two rooms.
Right.
You weren't too comfortable back then. That's the bottom line. So maybe that dress is going to make you a little bit comfortable.
Maybe air conditioning helped just improve people's general happiness, I think.
It could have. And did you see that you could get a brand new car in the Depression era for $815? Without any kind of upgrades, that's going to be $815. If you want a few extras, they're going to give it to you for $845.
Okay. Yeah, the new Dodge 6.
Yeah,
that was
that's
the name
gonna
of
be
the car.
Yeah. Well, what they're really referring to there is a 6-cylinder engine. But they're referring to it kind of like a model name as well.
Yeah, so you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
The new Dodge 6, the Dodge 8.
Yeah, if you get the 8, that's gonna be an 8-cylinder. That's premium. You can see we'll still pay a little bit for premium here. That might be as much as $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
But again, compared to prices a couple of decades later, these are rock bottom.
Right.
A car is something you're not going to splurge on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Great Depression. Maybe you shell out the $815 mm-hmm. if you really, really need it.
Right. I would imagine that really hit certain luxury items, radios, TV, well, not TV, but, and cars, things that people, unless you're very rich and you're still holding on to some money, you're just not going to buy those.
Right. And you can tell that they're trying to say that it's affordable. Because they say that it is beautiful, greater in size, they've made it bigger, it's more powerful, more comfortable, yet remaining at the traditional Dodge price levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another kind of deflation. It's kind of a sneaky type of deflation where they're giving you more, but they're not charging you any more for
it. Right,
right. Yeah. You've probably seen the opposite of that with inflation mm-hmm. in recent days where the can shrinks a little bit, the box shrinks a little bit,
Those
but it's still
candy
the same
bars.
Price.
Seem to be smaller than they used to be.
I think that might be 100% correct.
They liked the cars big back then, didn't they?
Yeah. They're not as big as the ones that came in the decades later.
Mm-hmm.
But you can definitely tell 8-cylinder engine. We're going to have the power to make it work. And speaking of that, we have got to pay some bills around here. And we have got another sponsor that we've got to pay a little tribute to. Down with dinky compacts, speaking of larger cars. Up with man-sized Dodge Dart, the 1966 Dodge Dart. Still talking about squeezed-up compacts when you'd rather be doing something about it? Then put your money where Dart is, at your Dodge dealers. With all the standard features, that used to cost extra.
Mm-hmm.
Outside mirror, padded dash, variable speed electric windshield wipers and washers, backup lights, turn signals, seat belts.
Yeah.
Two front
seat belts
and two rear.
Yeah. That's fair. We want the people in the back to be protected too.
Yeah, but they didn't used to be.
Yeah.
And you can tell right there, they're saying, hey, look, this stuff didn't used to come on the car.
Right. Think about it. Think about seatbelts sometime. The Dodge Dart, too. I mean, that even that car now is kind of like a joke that people joke about. But maybe at that time it wasn't. It was just a compact. The man-sized Dodge Dart.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to split the difference there a little bit. You could get it in an eight-cylinder, though, which mm-hmm. is kind of weird for a compact car. But that's the 60s and 70s. Especially the 60s, low fuel prices. You can get away with an eight-cylinder engine, and,
yeah.
and it's not. You won't really notice the difference in the cost.
Well, they're really trying to sell this thing as something that, well, is cool.
Yeah.
See the little writing in there, the Dodge Rebellion wants you.
Yeah, yeah, because see, you're rebelling against GM and Ford.
Right.
And so now this thing is going to be something kind of new and hip, and of course Dodge isn't new, but it's kind of a marketing thing. How about turn signals? Used to not come standard.
Yeah, the inconvenience of just sticking your arm out the window.
I think I saw some people on the way to the studio today who had a really old car with no turn signals on it.
And you will, yeah, you'll see people actually still doing that, sticking their arm out sometimes.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember exactly what the rules are on that?
Yeah.
Do you remember,
straight
Brett?
Out for left.
Straight out for left.
Right angle up for right.
Yeah.
Right angle down for slow down.
Yeah, down.
That's your brake
light.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can see right there, backup lights didn't used to come standard either. So now they do. And the car is more safe than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just didn't think about that seatbelt for a while, did they?
I don't think so. Now we are to our final thoughts. So what do you think was the biggest takeaway for today for you?
Well, I actually like this commercial about the machine gun, about collecting things. I think that's kind of a neat idea. Obviously, it helped the country and people. This was a chance, if you were in the middle of the country and you really didn't have an impact on the war, you could help. You could help by just donating your goods, things that they could recycle to help the soldiers.
Yeah, and that was the attitude back then. Any little thing that you could do
mm-hmm.
is not a little thing. You can, in fact, help. Sadly, though, we have turned to the final page of this chapter. But not to worry. We'll be back when Back in the Day is new, and we'll have more old Kentucky tales for you. Special thanks for our sound engineer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS. And the rest is history.